Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest. I'm Nate Weck, and thanks for joining me once again. Here's the top radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending July 15th, 2016. Fatal shootings across the country in recent weeks have left police officers and civilians dead. Thursday night, people gathered in Sioux Falls to show appreciation for local police force. SDPB's Aaron Myros has more.
Holding signs and flags, people walk along a busy street and gather outside the Sioux Falls Police Station. One of those rallying here is Carol Miller.
I think the cops do a wonderful job, and it's a scary job, and they need support.
Others here include Austin Feenstra, who just finished his training with the Sioux Falls Police Force. He says he appreciates hearing from people in the community.
Numerous people come up to me on the streets and say thank you for what you guys do, and we really do appreciate it. Just driving down the street earlier today, I had somebody roll down their window and say thank you. So,
the crowd included some people who align with the Black Lives Matter movement. One of them is David Blackburn with Black Lives Matter South Dakota. He says he attended after seeing many police officers at the Black Lives Matter rally last weekend.
The police department kind of helped me out with doing my own movement last week, so I definitely want to show some appreciation because we're trying to work with them, not against them, to help stop the senseless violence.
A little less than 100 people attended the event. The rally ended with a blessing over the officers.
A Native American art and culture event in Rapid City is part of a push to expand the Plains art market in the Midwest. Rapid City's Main Street Square hosts the 4th Annual Native Peoples of the Plains Art Show July 16th. SDPB's Kenzie Wagner reports.
Native Peoples of the Plains, or POP, began as an effort to increase the availability of Native American art in Rapid City. This year, around 50 artists display their works. Peter Strong is with Native POP. He's also the co-owner of the studio and artist workspace Racing Magpie. Strong says that even though there's a demand for Native art in the area, the market isn't well established.
Historically, there's a very strong market for Native art in the Southwest. There's a pretty strong market in the Northwest and in different regions around the country. But, you know, the Northern Plains, it's been really difficult for regional artists, local artists to get connected to the market.
But Strong thinks things are changing, especially as more of the community becomes involved and supports Native culture events.
It's really exciting the direction we're going and the potential we have to continue to grow because of this huge pool of really talented artists and cultural practitioners in the region.
Native POP Gathering runs all day Saturday and is free to the public. Strong says that including art, a Native fashion show, Native-made films, and music and dance performances are scheduled.
Artists from as far away as India are on the Pine Ridge Reservation as part of a two-week program to teach Lakota youth alternative ways to express themselves. As SDPB's Jim Kent reports, the initiative is intended as a way to combat the continuing suicide epidemic that has plagued one of the country's poorest areas.
The Metokopi, or My People Foundation, is hosting the I Am Sending a Voice Summer Arts Program. Organizers say the goal is to help lift Lakota youth out of the daily task of survival.
You know, I grew up in a real difficult situation, and art saved my life. It gave me tools to express myself. It gave me ways to deal with some difficult things I was going through.
That's Metokopi founder Jennifer Jessam.
I wanted to share that with the kids out here because every young person goes through difficulties. And out here in Pine Ridge, they're dealing with some additional difficulties.
So many additional difficulties, notes Jessam, that the reservation has had more than 25 youth suicides this year, with 150 attempts per month. The summer arts program offers Lakota youth aged 6 to 21 instruction in film, dance, music, visual arts, and writing. Brittany Sterner is a Philadelphia-based writer. Sterner says since the kids are really into rap, she's been using instruction in poetry and spoken word to teach self-expression and claiming identity.
We're just trying to give them the tools to share their voices and tell their stories, and we talk a lot about how, you know, they're the only ones who can really represent themselves accurately and using poetry as a self-empowerment tool, and it's been really amazing.
Los Angeles artist Jess Minkley is offering instruction in drawing, painting, collage, and sculpture.
they're not really great at expressing their feelings in themselves and even being able to understand why they feel the way that they feel. But I tell them about my life and my experiences and show them ways that contemporary artists tackle cultural and political issues.
Metocopy founder Jennifer Jessam tells the students that the more experiences they have through opportunities like the I Am Sending a Voice program, the more colors they'll have on the paint palette of their lives to bring into their art.
The South Dakota legislature is tasked with developing a bill that addresses substance abuse, whether alcohol, meth, or opiates. The committee that's looking closer at the issue met earlier in the week. While alcohol abuse was part of the discussion, the committee took a closer look at opioid and methamphetamine prevention. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more on this story.
The White House has proposed more than $1 billion to help states deal with the prescription opioid addiction epidemic, and also to address the increased use of meth. South Dakota legislators are taking a closer look at how to deal with the issue locally. Kevin Jensen is the vice president of the Prairie View Prevention Program. He says the methamphetamine issue in the state is a unique one.
The meth issue is different than the oxy issue and different than the alcohol issue. It would really be hard to roll everything all into one because methamphetamine is such a different animal. If I left here right now making all legal purchases by about 5 o'clock, I could have 3 to 4 grams of meth created. It's not that hard to do.
Jensen says a program established in the early 2000s aimed at meth education reduced use in the state. He says funding for that program dried up in 2009, and since then, Jensen says the meth arrests have gone up significantly.
2015, it was 2,125 arrests and 23 meth labs. A meth lab now is no more. When we first started this, meth labs were the big contraptions with hoses and anhydrous ammonia and all that. Right now, a meth lab is a 20-ounce pot bottle. And things have changed. It's called the one-pot method.
Officials with the substance abuse prevention group say they will take a closer look at meth use on reservations. The group will convene again August 17th.
A 107-year-old South Dakotan woman is receiving an award recognizing life. The Century Club program allows families to nominate those who live past their 100th birthday, exuding wisdom and positive contributions to the state. SDPB's Ali Konofchinsky reports.
Bertha Moore is this year's centenarian of the year. At 107 years old, she is the current oldest member of the South Dakota Healthcare Association's Century Club. Moore lives in Eureka and enjoys a long life full of family and German cuisine. Luann Severson is the Century Club's coordinator. She says Bertha is unique from past award recipients since most are women who never married or had children. She says most people cite healthy living and strong faith as key factors of longevity.
It's really quite unique that South Dakota has so many centenarians, and I want to say that from reading the applications that come in the office, it comes from having that hardiness of getting through some tough winters and just having this as public awareness of positive aging is our main purpose.
Severson says the SDHCA began the Century Club in 1997 and has since delivered over 1,500 plaques recognizing club members' longevity. She says the club has been a unique aspect to South Dakota, even receiving attention across the country.
The Century Club has had national recognition through Harvard University. We've also gained some national awards for the public awareness of bringing the positive aging aspect. And then we've also had some fun parts of it, too, being contacted by some of the national talk shows.
Severson says South Dakota has inspired other states to form similar programs celebrating century-old residents. She hopes to see more people join the club to continue acknowledging the state's wisest citizens.
State officials from three agencies say South Dakota faces challenges when it comes to nursing home and assisted living care. On July 12th, the Regulation of Nursing Homes and Assisted Living Beds Interim Committee met in Pierr. Members discussed plans to address challenges like infrastructure improvement, staff shortages, and budget constraints. SDPB's Kenzie Wagner has more.
Get people home. That's the goal of the South Dakota Department of Health and Department of Social Services in an effort to try to lessen nursing and assisted living home use. State officials say data from a study in 2008 shows that while nursing home use has decreased, assisted living use has increased, and home and community services haven't expanded at all.
Marilyn Kinsman is with the Department of Social Services. She says some options to increase home care services include expanding caregiver training and providing day habilitation.
And that's an area that we really need to work on, getting people so they can stay at home. It's more cost effective. It's a lesser restrictive place where people can be. People want to be home and in their communities, and we want to see them there too. But like I said, we haven't really seen much of a shift in that area, so we're going to be working in that regard.
Secretary of Health Kim Malsom-Risden says that providing different levels of care is important.
Especially larger communities that have more of a population of folks that need some level of long-term care, where they're developing kind of continuum of care communities so that people have access to a variety of types of care. It's not just a nursing home or just an assisted living. It's residential living. It's, you know, a town home on a campus where there's just some minor housekeeping that, you know, that the person needs.
The committee reconvenes on August 23rd in Pierre to discuss more on the issues. It plans to possibly tour some nursing or assisted living facilities as well. Committee members may propose legislation for the 2017 session based on what they learned this summer.
With parts of South Dakota under severe drought conditions and the rest of the state under abnormally dry conditions, Governor Dennis Dugard is calling together the state's drought task force. The group held their first meeting on Monday, July 11th. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
The state drought task force monitors drought conditions across South Dakota. Right now, parts of West River and the northeastern corner of the state are in severe drought, and part of the Black Hills is in an exceptional drought. Officials with the Drought Task Force can focus state resources on ag and cattle producers, as well as fire and water organizations who are adversely impacted by dry conditions. Jason Bowder is with the State Office of Emergency Management.
We're seeing some counties already declaring county disaster resolutions, looking for assistance. So, you know, as a Drought Task Force, we take into account what counties are already having issues and looking for assistance, what they're specifically asking for.
Bowder says the task force meets to discuss ways to help alleviate drought issues in the state and then sends recommendations to the governor. Fire activity is the main trigger that activates the drought task force. Bowder says the fire danger this year is very comparable to the drought in 2012.
Officials in Rapid City are attempting to curb panhandling with what they call giving meters. The converted parking meters are painted red and yellow and located in downtown Rapid City. As SDPB's Kenzie Wagner reports, officials say they hope the meters spark a chain of giving in the area.
The giving meters are the result of a joint effort between the Rapid City Police Department and Destination Rapid City. Brendan Medina is with the Rapid City Police Department. He says panhandling in Rapid City has been an issue for some time, and that people are often wary of giving spare change to those who do it.
Just the hopes that we can install these giving meters and show people that there's a way to donate your money and be 100% sure that you know where the money's going and that it's going to a good cause.
Officials chose the downtown Rapid City area for the meters because of Main Street Square's prominence. Dan Sefner is president of Destination Rapid City. He hopes more meters can be placed in other areas in the future.
So we're looking at this as a variety of ways that, you know, now we start with 2 meters, maybe we get 2 more meters down the road, and maybe pretty soon there's some revenue generating that can make a difference to some of these organizations.
Officials say the nonprofit recipients of the meter donations will change frequently.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you want to hear additional radio news stories or see more programming of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, just visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, be sure to stay connected with South Dakota Public Broadcasting on social media by liking us on Facebook. And be sure to follow our Twitter accounts. Our handles are at SODACPB, at SDPB News, at SDPB Sports, and at SDPB. I am Nate Wack for South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Have a great weekend, everyone.